Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm joined by our Chair, Emmanuel Faber, recording this podcast following our board meeting here in Montreal. So this was our last public standard setting meeting of 2022, and we got a lot done, which we look forward to talking about on this podcast. But before we get to the board meeting, we were lucky enough this week in Montreal that our meeting coincided with the COP15 Biodiversity Conference, where we made an announcement. So Emmanuel, why don't we start there with you talking about what you announced at Finance Day at COP15.
Thank you, Sue. Well, it's great to be joining you for that podcast. It's been a super productive week indeed here. And Wednesday, on Finance Day, it was energizing to be at COP15 and witness the important work, not finished yet, to be accomplished by so many stakeholders around the world. So I had that privilege of speaking on behalf of all our colleagues around the board and make a few announcements there. I think the first of them was that we have decided on our first day of our public meeting to describe sustainability and clarify that a company's ability to deliver value for its investors is inextricably linked to the stakeholders it works with and serves, and the society it operates in, as well as the natural resources it draws upon. So that decision builds on concept from the integrated reporting framework, which the foundation has consolidated as part of the Value Reporting Foundation back in August, which helps companies articulate how they use and affect resources and relationships for creating, preserving, and eroding value over time. So in our standards, sustainability will be described in the general requirements standard S1 as the ability for a company to sustainably maintain resources and relationship with and manage its dependencies and impact within its whole business ecosystem over the short, medium, and long term. And so we expect that by referring to this articulation of the value creation process, a company will be better placed to explain to its investors how it is working sustainably within its business ecosystem, addressing the impacts, risks, and opportunities that can affect its performance and prospects to ultimately deliver financial value for investors, and that being done in a sustainable manner, meaning that those resources, financial, human, natural, that the company is actually drawing upon need to be over time protected, developed, and regenerated by the company. The second thing that we announced was the fact that we confirmed that we will research incremental enhancements that complement the climate-related standards S2, including related to natural ecosystems and the human capital aspects of the climate resilience transition, which many and we decided to call just transition. Two things to say here. First of all, we've heard strong feedback on the connection between climate and nature, including cultivated and natural biodiversity, deforestation, and water, and therefore decided to take action upon that connection. And second is we will consider the work of the Task Force for Nature-Related Financial Disclosure, as well as other existing nature-related standards and disclosure when they relate to the information needs of investors, and in particular considering the TNFD's recent work on the intersection of climate and biodiversity disclosures, we believe that it can help us in scoping our research on those complements to our climate standards. And the last announcement that we made that morning at COP15 is the appointment of two new special advisors to provide strategic counsel on issues relating to natural ecosystems and just transition. One will be Karen Kemper. She, until recently, was the Global Director for Environmental, Natural Resources, and Blue Economy at the World Bank. And the other one is Jordi Hungerford, the CEO of First Nations Financial Board in Canada. So the Finance Day announcement covered one of the decisions we made at the first day of the board meeting, a very structuring one. But of course, this week we met a number of other decisions. And would you tell us more about this?
Sure. So you talked about part of the decision we made about S1 on the first day of the board meeting, but we also made some other decisions. I think most notably, the board agreed to add to the guidance in S1 to explain how a company should provide the sustainability-related financial information. So in particular, we agreed to illustrate a process, a two-step process that a company could use to determine, firstly, which sustainability-related risks and opportunities to provide information about, and then secondly, how to make the materiality judgments to describe, to identify, sorry, the disclosures that are really important, the material information for investors' decision making. We also agreed to amend the guidance in S1 to draw on existing market resources, such as the SASB implementation primer, to provide further illustration of how entities with more complex structures, including conglomerates, should determine which industry-specific activities and disclosures they should report on. So things to help people. So moving then to the second day of the meeting, we talked about the forward look of our work, what we will include in our upcoming agenda consultation. And in that discussion, the board agreed to propose four projects that should be prioritised in the upcoming agenda consultation: biodiversity, human capital, human rights, and connectivity and reporting, working with our sister board, the IASB. So we're hoping to put that agenda consultation out in the first half of next year to give our stakeholders the opportunity to tell us whether or not they agree with those priority projects or not. And we'll use that feedback to help us make our ultimate decisions on what we work on next, so what to prioritise. Moving on then to the climate standard, S2. One of the important things we discussed and agreed on this week was specific reliefs for Scope 3 GHG emission disclosures. So those of you who follow our work might remember that back in October this year, the board confirmed that when material, companies would be required to disclose their Scope 3 GHG emissions, and we decided on that because investors told us that they really need that information to understand a company's transition risk. But we also agreed at that October meeting that in combination with that requirement, we would provide some support for companies in how to make those disclosures and some reliefs as well. And so this meeting, we circled back and agreed what that would look like. So we agreed on a number of things, including having a temporary exemption for those who are first starting to apply our climate standard. For a minimum of 1 year, they wouldn't have to provide the Scope 3 information, so they have some more time to get ready for that disclosure. We also agreed on some more specific reliefs, including allowing a company, say, with a 31st of December year end, to include annual GHG emissions from entities in the value chain that are determined with a different year end. So it's just to make it more practical for them to gather that information. We also agreed to introduce a framework for how you measure Scope 3 GHG emissions in our materials to make it clear that while priority should be given to direct measurement when that's possible, estimation techniques will often be appropriate and necessary for companies to determine Scope 3 GHG emissions. And we're going to accompany that material with a requirement that disclosures be provided to enable investors to understand how a company went about measuring those GHG emissions so that there's a good understanding in the market of what's exactly behind those important numbers. So with that, that brings us to day three of the board meeting, Emmanuel. So maybe you'd want to talk about that.
Yeah, well, if you ask, I will too. Thank you. And just before moving to this, I think I personally was really appreciative of the work that our staff had been doing, in particular on the Scope 3 greenhouse gas emission disclosures, because we've got a lot of feedback, of course, about the very new nature of those topics and the need to address guidance for preparers. And I think personally that we've come to a point where this is an extremely proportionate approach to Scope 3 measurement, and I think very much tuned with the need to develop and use that new language on climate greenhouse gas emissions as soon as practicable for everyone, so that no one is left outside in the value chains, because the risk would indeed be that we exclude companies, or companies would be excluded because they would not be able to operate that language. And so the fact that everybody is going to cross the river, but being supported to swim at everyone's pace at the same time is critical. And so tribute to both, I think, the staff here and our board to make considerate decisions about this. Now, day three was in many ways deepening our work on the climate standards as well, and even more technical in many ways. So first, a couple of topics here. First one is that we agreed to confirm and refine the proposed requirements for financed emissions, providing important information about transition risks for those who have activities in the finance sector. So we approved amended finance emission disclosures for activities associated with three industries: asset management and custody activities, commercial banks, and insurance, as part of the disclosures required in S2, along with the disclosure of scope 3 greenhouse gas emissions in category 15. We scaled back the disclosures a bit, in particular for facilitated emissions in relation to investment banking type activities. So those disclosures won't actually be required at this time. The other thing we did was to make immediate enhancements to Appendix B of the climate standards, which will now be examples of industry disclosures rather than what is required from entities. So we confirm the changes to be made to make them more internationally applicable, and also discuss the path forward for Appendix B. So how we monitor application and think about whether further changes are needed before we put a future exposure draft to propose making Appendix B a required part of S2 in the future. So that day actually concluded a full year of standard setting for 2022, which started in March with the exposure draft of S1 and S2, and concluded with, I think, a very deep and thorough review of the feedback and treatment of the feedback that we received to enter into an exciting year of standard setting for us, and starting to also moving into implementation and adoption in 23. A bit of that has already been discussed around COP27 with important announcements we made, in particular around capacity building that we've started to discuss, and committed that capacity building around our standards would be ready by COP28. But there is still a lot of things that need to happen before we're there. And Sue, I'd love if you could share a bit of where we are entering into 23. Thank you.
Sure. So we've, of course, been working really hard to deliver the first two standards, S1 and S2, as soon as possible in the new year. When we started the redeliberations back in September, we said we were targeting finalising the redeliberations around the end of this year. We're still on track to do that. We expect to finish our redeliberations really early in the new year. Also looking forward to putting that agenda consultation out to think about what we work on next after these first two standards. And we're really looking forward to you participating, so keep your eyes out for that. And from a board meeting perspective, our first meeting of the new year will be in Frankfurt in January, around the 16th to the 20th of January. So watch out for that meeting. And with that, thank you for joining us for our podcast today. Thank you for continuing to listen to us and be interested in our work. We wish you a good holiday season, and really look forward to continuing to engage with you all in 2023.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.